WWOAM Clayton in Greater St. Louis.
We invite you now to join us for a special feature presentation of KFUO in cooperation with Concordia Seminary. What you are about to hear is a radio drama depicting one of the early struggles of the Saxon Lutherans in Perry County, Missouri. Courage, Some Forgiveness was written by John Drickamer, a graduate student at Concordia Seminary, directed by Dr. Martin Schmidt, and recorded and produced at KFUO. While the drama is based on historical reality, the characters, with the exception of Pastor Walter, are fictitious. And now, Courage from Forgiveness.
Conditions within the Lutheran churches in the kingdom of Saxony and Germany were becoming steadily worse. The church was an arm of the state, and the clergymen who ran the church were state officials. Most of them opposed historic biblical Christianity and its doctrine. They favored sermons about common sense in farming or business, not about Christian doctrine. They forced pastors and congregations to use orders of worship that were based on false understandings of the sacraments. Children were baptized not in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but in the name of liberty, equality, and fraternity. The Lord's Supper became only a memorial meal, not a real sacrament or means of grace. Christian schools were forced to use books that taught human ideas instead of God's words. How long could faithful Christians live under such conditions? Should they stay and struggle? Or should they look for a place to live where they could preach and practice their religion unhindered by government interference, where they could raise their children in the true faith? More than 600 Lutherans from Saxony, including several pastors, emigrated under the leadership of Pastor Martin Steffen of Dresden. Early in 1839, they arrived in New Orleans and traveled up the Mississippi to St. Louis. Some of them stayed in St. Louis, and others moved to farms on a large tract of land in Perry County, Missouri. They eventually formed several congregations. In May 1839, a great crisis struck the community. Pastor Steffen was unmasked as an immoral and deceitful man. The immigrants began to doubt that they had done the right thing in leaving their homeland. They wondered if they still had the right to function as a Christian church, independent of any other church organization. Our story takes place in Perry County in the spring of 1840. It is the week before Easter. In a log cabin church building, one of the Lutheran congregations is having a voters' assembly meeting. The young pastor of the congregation, Carl Ferdinand Wilhelm Walther, is troubled in his conscience over certain actions connected with the emigration. He considers himself unfit to be a pastor and brings this matter to the attention of the church's voting members.
Come to order, please. Come to order. Pastor Walther would like to discuss a matter of great interest and importance for all of us. Pastor Walther.
Thank you, Herr Schmidt. My dear people, what I want to do is to offer you the opportunity to dismiss me as your pastor.
What? Pastor, what do we do? Please, please, pay attention to Pastor Walther.
Let me explain the situation. We immigrants are guilty of sins in connection with the immigration, and we pastors are guilty most of all. Here is my situation as I see it. I have sinned in that I abandoned my first congregation in Germany and left them without an Orthodox pastor. I have helped split up families when some family members refused to come with us and others refused to stay in Saxony. And I am one of those who has spoken harsh words against the many good Lutheran people who stayed behind. I am even convinced that I am indirectly guilty of murder.
No, Pastor Walter, how can you say that?
Yes, I mean it, Herr Schultz. I am indirectly guilty of the murder of several people. All those who died because of the strenuous exertions of our trip to America and of our attempts to carve new homes out of the forest.
Pastor Walter, you are being too harsh on yourself. Remember that Christ died for all our sins, including these. God has forgiven us for that reason.
Herr Schmidt, you are right. But we must still ask the question, what would God have us do? The fact is that I have not acted as a pastor should. I have given great offense to all of you. I have forfeited my right to be your pastor. I'm not certain what we should do. But as long as there is any doubt, I suggest that you dismiss me, or at least suspend me until we come to a clearer understanding.
Pastor, you don't preach. Who will?
When I stand in the pulpit and see your tired and worried faces, I feel myself accused of all these sins. I know that you do not all accuse me. It is my own conscience.
Pastor Walter, Easter is coming, and the truth of Christ's resurrection must be preached. I think I speak for all of us when I say that we do not want you to stop being our pastor.
That's right.
Please, keep on preaching, and we will have another meeting in a week or so, after we have all had time to think it over and talk about it.
I'm your servant. I will wait for your decision.
Sins are great. My conscience does upbraid me, and now I find that in my strait no man has power to aid me. In my despair in some lone spot to hide me, my grief would still be with me there, and peace still be denied me.
Pastor Walther did preach on Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday.
And so, let us rejoice, for the Lord is risen indeed. Amen.
But for the whole week after Easter, the people were talking about his suggestion that he be dismissed. Several different opinions were expressed and argued about. We look in now as Pastor Walther and one of the theology students, Vicar Lang, stop in to visit Herr and Frau Schmidt in their home. They find Herr Martin, one of Pastor Walther's critics, already there.
Good day, Herr Schmidt, Frau Schmidt. Welcome, Pastor Walther. And Vicar Lang, come in. Make yourselves at home.
I've just made some tea. Come and sit around the table.
Thank you, Frau Smith.
Thank you.
Good day to you also, Herr Martin.
Good day. Glad you came by, Pastor. We were just talking about you.
I'm interested in what you think of me and my situation.
Well, Herr Martin, no offense, Pastor Walther, but I think you should leave. You and the other pastors tricked us. It was wrong to leave our homeland. We should have stayed in Saxony and stood up for the true faith there. You deceived us.
We were all deceived together, but we pastors certainly incurred a major share of the guilt.
That's right. How could we ever trust you again? Wait a minute, Herr Martin. You are speaking too harshly. Pastor Walther is still our pastor. Is he? Hasn't he forfeited any right to be a pastor by participating in the whole emigration business? I know you agree with me, Vicar Lang.
You have a good point there, Herr Martin. I mean, not about Pastor Walther, but certainly about me. I have no right to expect a call at any time. I know now that I am unfit for the ministry. I must look for other employment. I doubt if it would ever be right for me to preach again.
I should discuss that with you privately, Vicar Lang. Your conscience and mine are greatly troubled by our part in the events of the last 2 years.
And that is as it should be. No! Herr Martin, do you not believe in forgiveness? Remember the events we just celebrated on Good Friday and Easter. Jesus died on the cross. That was the punishment for our sins. And that punishment is over. Jesus rose from the dead to prove that the punishment was completely finished. God is not angry with us, so we should not be angry with ourselves or with each other. We must at least try to undo the wrong we have done.
That is hardly possible, Herr Martin. We have no money to pay for returns to Saxony. Nor could we pick up where we left off, even if we could go back. God may have been displeased when we left Germany, but we are here now, and our concern must be faithfulness to God in America.
But when we left Saxony, we left our church. We forfeited the right to be church members. Unless we can join a church that is already established here, we are not Christians at all. Herr Martin, you are forgetting all about forgiveness. Isn't that true, Pastor Walther?
It is not my role as a pastor to take sides in an argument between parishioners. Let us please not get angry. Personal issues have no place here.
They certainly do. It is wrong for you to stay on as pastor because of your sins. It is wrong for all of us to stay here and act as if we were a Christian church.
That is still not a matter of personalities, Herr Martin. Like everything else in the church, this question must be settled by God's word, the Bible.
Where? I have read nothing in Scripture about our situation.
Have you never read Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians?
Of course I have.
Did you ever hear of such a sinful group of people calling themselves Christians?
There were all kinds of personal divisions among them. There were irregularities in the way they treated the Lord's Supper. There was even sexual immorality.
That's right. And Paul criticized them very harshly, if I remember.
You do remember that. But what did he call those people?
Sinners.
No, Herr Martin, saints.
What? You're right, Pastor Walter. He called them saints. He called them a church.
Because their sins were forgiven for Jesus' sake. The Bible called them saints.
But they were not to continue in sin. They were supposed to begin living better lives, weren't they?
That is also right, but they could not do it on their own. They could do better only with God's help and power. But it was only because their sins were forgiven that they could be assured that God was pleased with them and would help them. They knew that God had accepted them and made them his own people. Only then, with his power and help, could they begin to do less evil and more good.
So how does that apply to our situation? As I said, Herr Martin, we must be concerned with the future, not with the past.
Yes. What it means for us is this. A church or a group of Christians that has been involved in sin or error should not give up on itself. God forgives evil and gives good. An erring church should not be dissolved. It should be reformed.
How can we do that for ourselves? We must have outside help from an established church. All the help we need is God's help.
And God's help is ours, Herr Martin. We must look for his help where Lutherans have always looked, in God's word.
How can we be sure? Too many questions, Herr Martin.
If he has questions, he should ask them. Fortunately, we still have the answers. We have the Bible, which is God's word. We have men who are trained in understanding it and preaching it. We have the Augsburg Confession, Luther's Small Catechism, and all the other Lutheran confessions. And we are assured that they correctly explain the Bible.
Yes, Pastor Walter. And we also administer baptism and the Lord's Supper as our Lord Jesus Christ instituted them.
But we have gone wrong in many of our actions.
We hold to true doctrine, the truth which God has caused to be written down for us in the Bible. And that is crucial. Our lives and our actions cannot fail to improve. For God's influence will be in us through his word.
Well said, Pastor Walter. So don't you see that your doubts about yourself are also unfounded? Do you not realize that all you have said applies to yourself? It is certainly God-pleasing for you to remain as our pastor. You must be convinced also, Vicar Lang, by such comforting words.
Of course, sir. The things you have said today, Pastor Walter, should be shared with the whole community here. I am greatly comforted by them, and I know that the others will feel the same.
If any of us is comforted by the truth, that is good.
You have spoken well, Pastor Walter, and I'm sure you mean well, but I am not convinced, and I am not sure that you are totally convinced either.
Herr Martin. Again, I must agree with you in part. I am still unsure about my own position in the church. If it helps the church at all, I am willing to be dismissed by the congregation.
But we need you, Pastor Walter, and the congregation as a whole is sure to say so at the next meeting.
Thank you.
On the first Sunday after Easter, the congregation holds another voters' assembly meeting in their log cabin church. Herr Schmidt calls the meeting to order.
Let us begin the meeting with prayer. Pastor Walter.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, look upon us with favor for the sake of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and grant that the questions we deal with today may be answered in accordance with the truth of your word, so that the actions we take may be pleasing in your sight. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Walter. We must begin with the matter laid before us by the pastor at our last meeting. We have all had a chance to discuss it among ourselves, and several of us have talked it over with the pastor himself. As a basis for our discussion, our friend and neighbor, Herr Schultz, is going to announce a proposal which he and I have drawn up in cooperation with several other members. Herr Schultz?
Thank you, Herr Schmidt. We propose that the congregation vote to retain Pastor Walter, and that we move forward together as a Christian Lutheran congregation, proclaiming and living by the sound doctrine which the Lutheran Church has always preached on the basis of the Word of God. Pastor Walter can well be retained as our pastor, and it is God-pleasing for us to keep him here. He has confessed certain sins in connection with the emigration, but those sins do not disqualify him as a pastor, even though they are known to all of us. The Bible records more serious sins on the part of Aaron, Jonah, Peter, and other prophets and apostles. Yet God continued to use them in his service. Besides, we were all certainly as deeply involved in those sins as he was. God has forgiven us and him. Therefore, we ought also to forgive one another. What God has forgiven, we forgive. Therefore, it is proposed that the congregation vote to confirm Pastor Walter's call to serve us.
That's right.
Is there any discussion before we vote?
Everyone wants to keep Pastor Walter. Let's make it unanimous.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay.
There were no negative votes. The congregation was assured of God's forgiveness, and they assured Pastor Walter that they were determined to live with that forgiveness. The Saxon Lutherans had to go through more times of doubt and distress, but the solution reached by this congregation on the basis of God's word was eventually accepted by nearly all the individuals in the several congregations, especially after a public debate held the following spring at Altenburg.
A church or a group of Christians that has been involved in sin or error should not give up on itself. God forgives evil and gives good. An erring church should not be dissolved. It should be reformed.
The confidence of these congregations as a church went hand in hand with the insistence on the pure doctrine of God's word, the Bible. This courage and this conviction were communicated to the church body which they formed. In 1847, they joined with other groups of Orthodox Lutherans in other parts of this country to form the church body known today as the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Thank you.
audio drama you have just heard was a special feature presentation of KFUO in cooperation with Concordia Seminary. The seminarians participating in the drama were John Finkel as Pastor Walther, Dean Kavouris as Herr Schmidt, Mark Seavey as Herr Martin, Martin Keller as Vicar Lang, and Douglas Morton as Herr Schultz. The part of Frau Schmidt was played by Barbara Kavouris. Courage from Forgiveness was written by John Drickamer, a graduate student at Concordia Seminary, directed by Dr. Martin Schmidt, faculty member at Concordia, and recorded and produced at KFUO.
From Clayton, Missouri, this is KFUO AM 850 on your radio dial.